Morning, everyone. Monday, the 2nd of May. Nasty start to the week after a bad night in the markets in America on Friday night. Dow Jones closed down 939 points, almost 3%. At best, it was up a measly 3 points. At worst, it was down 1,003. So closed just off the lows, but still pretty nasty. 28 of the 30 components of the Dow did close lower. The S&P 500 lost 156 points or 3.63%. And the NASDAQ was again the worst, dropping 537 points, a little over 4%. And it marked the biggest monthly sell-off since 2008. So 14 years there. Tech and growth names were once again in the firing line. Lackluster earnings and inflation pressures to blame. All 11 sectors finished in the red. The best was materials, which was still down 2%. The worst two were real estate and consumer cyclicals, both down around 5%. The big inflation news was the PCE price index, showing a 6.6% year-over-year increase in March. That is the Fed's preferred inflation measure. So that feeds straight into the fears of persistent inflation and expectations for a shift to a tighter Fed policy stance. The data now shows an 88.4% probability of a 75 basis point rise in June on top of the already priced in 50 basis point rise next week that we are expecting. So a lot of movement expected in the near term from the Fed. On the earnings front, Amazon, which is of course one of the biggest stocks in the market, dropped 14% and was the biggest drag on the market, fell on the back of downside revenue and operating income guidance for the second quarter. Things were also not helped by a 4% drop in Apple, who warned of higher supply chain costs and disappointing earnings from Intel, Chevron, and ExxonMobil. Elsewhere, European markets were stronger. WTI oil closed 0.3% lower, which snapped the three-day winning streak, but it did lock in a 4.4% gain for the month. Gold added 1%, but booked its worst month since September 2021, and it was hurt by the strengthening US dollar through the month. The Aussie dollar fell to 70.63 cents. Base metals were mixed. Bitcoin dropped 3% to 38,500, and the US 10-year bond yield rose 2 basis points to 2.89%, and the 2 year rose 5 basis points to 2.69%. And that was Friday. Tom, what's happening today?
Thank you, Ben. Yes, well, the market having, as expected, poor start. All sectors are in negative territory, growth names underperforming value, but in a down day, it doesn't really matter if you have value stocks, they are all in the red. Technology and energy are the worst performing sectors, and the industrials and miners are outperforming, so they're holding up a little bit better, still underwater though. Qantas is improving. They announced they're going to buy 12 new aircrafts. They also flagged a return to profitability in FY23. Telstra announced a new CFO. Liontown Resources, they inked an offtake agreement with LG Energy Solutions, although are suffering there underwater despite that positive update. NAB is slipping a little bit as AUSTRAC comes knocking on the door. And on the economic front, home prices are up 16.7% on a year ago in April, although growth is slowing. So for those homeowners, growth is slowing. That number is down from 18.2% in March. We also had some PMI data out today, which showed that we are in expansion territory despite price pressures lingering. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Thomas. And while you're there, could you please give us the strategy rundown?
Yeah, I can. Today, all eyes are glued on the RBA and the Fed. I'm looking at the Chinese market, which had a big recovery on the back of some stimulus talk, and also back on the property price point. They are cooling off, and why that's bad for discretionary spending. Just signpost a few of the key dates this week. We have the RBA tomorrow, the Fed on May 4, ANZ results on Wednesday, RBA statement on monetary policy on Friday, and US unemployment data Saturday morning our time. So a lot to look out for, Ben.
Very good. Thank you, Tom, and good pick up there. I said the Fed is expecting a 50 basis point rise next week. That is, of course, May the 4th, which is Thursday our time, Wednesday US.
Yes. Yeah.
That's it. Thank you, Tom. Layton, what do you got from the brokers today?
Not a whole lot this morning, Ben. I've got Kogan was downgraded to underperform at Credit Suisse after the March quarter loss that they posted. And the target price came down 32% to $3.75, which was implying a 4% downside, but they're down another 3% this morning. And I've also got PointsBet Holdings. It's PBH. Credit Suisse has a neutral recommendation and has lowered its target price 25% to $3 to reflect higher risk-free rates. And this was in line with the current share price, but again, they're down another 2.5% this morning. That's all I've got for you this morning so far.
Sure and sweet. Thank you, Leighton. Henry, how are you going this week?
Not too bad, Ben. I've got a new laptop, which is very exciting. It's always painful setting the thing up, but we'll get there eventually. But as far as my stuff goes today, just, I guess, looking at what the RBA is going to do tomorrow and whether it actually makes any difference apart from the politics, because raising rates in the middle of an election cycle has been in the past somewhat of a prelude to the opposition getting in. Something that the market's not really thinking about at the moment, I guess, is a change in government or even potentially a minority government from either side with that kind of stagnant policy agenda that we see in the US because of their own stagnant government. But so just looking at that tomorrow, and I'm sure everyone's got their own opinion on whether the RBA should or shouldn't, but it is going to. It's just a question of when. As far as the US volatility goes, it still does require, I think, people to be patient, to stand back at the moment, and just looking at why the siren call of buy the dip should probably be ignored just for the time being. There are too many, well, Donald Rumsfeld had it right, too many unknowns out there at the moment, and I suspect the volatility is going to continue, and I would be using the rallies to sell into rather than the dips to buy, and just ensuring that your portfolio is shockproof, because there certainly is potential for more shocks down the track in the next few months. So just caution, I guess, is the watchword, and that's about it from me.
Great stuff. Thank you, Henry. Christopher, what have you got for us today?
Thank you, Benjamin. It's not a great deal. Just leveraging what Leighton was talking about earlier, I had a look at Kogan simply because today was obviously going to be a big down day and I didn't want to put a bullish chart of the day up. So just acknowledging that downtrend and really just making the point that picking bottoms, and particularly picking bottoms around company announcements, is perilous at best. You know, that thing was in a screaming downtrend and the results the other day were not good and it got smashed and downgrades from brokers have ensued and it's falling further. So don't try and be a hero in this sort of market environment would be the message there if I could pass one at all. Don't have a lot of risk on the table in the portfolios myself at the moment. I added South 32 late last week. It's the only open position that I have outside of the theme stuff, of course, although that dances to the beat of a slightly different drum. So not a lot of risk on the table by design and happy with that positioning. And then in today's Manic Monday, I take a look at the FOMC meeting coming up. I know we've got the RBA before that, but many far more intelligent people than me will talk about that endlessly. So I thought I'd focus on the FOMC instead. We know that the 50 basis point hike is pretty much priced in. The big moving parts will still be the tapering. They have talked about it being $95 billion per month, but they may grow more aggressive. That's some of the sentiment that I'll be looking at. And then, of course, Powell's press conference as well is always an interesting moving feast and can move markets around a little bit. And it's just worth noting that in the last 6 months or so, markets have generally rallied post-FOMC meetings. They've been de-risking events and markets have fallen post-Fed meeting minutes. So let's hope that that pattern continues. We get the FOMC Thursday morning our time, as you were saying, Ben, and hopefully that creates some certainty where there is currently some uncertainty and, you know, that'll be a bit of a relief for markets with equities having sold off quite aggressively heading into that event. So like I said, hopefully that pattern continues.
Very good. Thank you, Chris. We will find out soon enough. And that also leads us into our question of the day today, which is quite simply, will the RBA move tomorrow and how much if you think they will? Tom, don't kick us off, please.
No, I don't think they'll move tomorrow. I think that'll be too exciting for them. And so I'm not too sure what they'll do. Probably maybe 25 pips at the next meeting.
Fair enough, Leighton.
I'll go the other side, Tom, and I'll say yes, they will. And it'll be 15 basis points.
Thank you, Leighton. Henry?
Well, Leighton is my favourite economist, and I'll go with Leighton, I have to say. He's obviously put in the research in terms of that, so I'm going to go for a rise of 15 basis points tomorrow.
Very good. Chris, anything different?
Yes, but 25, I think I'll go down Main Street, yeah.
225 or add 25?
Adding 25.
So just taking it to 35.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And I also subscribe to the economic school of Leighton, and I think they'll rise 15 bips to 25.
Great school.
We'll see what happens there. Thanks, guys. See you tomorrow.
Thanks. See ya,
guys.